If you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 8 this morning. Is where we're going to be in the Word of God. John chapter 8. We just want to be obedient to the Spirit of God. I don't want to rush nothing today. We're only having one service, so being here just a little bit longer today ain't going to hurt a thing. Seem like anymore, people want less and less of church and the Lord and everything, but I want all I can get. Amen. I want everything that God's got. I want it. And if you don't want it, I'll take your part of it. I love the blessings of God and what He has for His people. And He's got something for you today. I've been travailing over this message and laboring over this message and asking God to help me understand what He wants through this message. And if it be the help of the Lord, we'll preach it to you today. If you would, let's stand in reverence to God's holy word. Breaking in at John chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple. And all the people came unto Him, and He sat and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the act, the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what say thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they may have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground, as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and He wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the least. And Jesus was left alone, one standing amidst. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to You right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we can't preach this morning, but we know that You can preach. We know that You send the Spirit, and God, we need understanding this morning. I pray that You open our ears of hearing and our hearts for understanding, God, that we can receive from Your Word today what You have given me, Lord, to give to Your people. Hide us by the shadow of the cross, God, that You'd be glorified in this place. And we'll give You the praise and the glory for it all. But we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said amen. You can be seated this morning. Verse 10 says, when Jesus lifted Himself, He saw none but the woman. He said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? He's asking her two questions here. She said, no man, Lord. And I like Jesus' response. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Every December the 31st offers a new start and a second chance at things. When we look back over the year, we see all the failures and disappointments we had, and they seemed to outnumber all the goals and the accomplishments that we were trying to achieve. But I'm glad that God is not keeping score like a baseball game. Amen. I'm glad His blessings are not gauged on our failures or our successes, but that His love is unconditional no matter what. Ain't you glad of that this morning? That His love is unconditional. So I want to preach a message this morning entitled, A New Beginning. A New Beginning. Here we see in this chapter a woman that is brought to Jesus and is caught in the very act of adultery. We can read over in Leviticus chapter 20, the Bible tells us under the Mosaic law that they have a right to stone this woman to death if she's caught in adultery. That's what the Bible says back at that time. I wonder if that law was still in place today, our population wouldn't be as big as it is. Can I hear from you this morning? anymore, that's not even anything to consider. People don't think a thing about living together or taking another man's wife or taking another woman's husband or anything like that. It's not thought of anymore. If anymore, it's praised on TV and Hollywood and even in our communities, it's praised. Can I hear from you this morning? I know it's a tough subject, but I'm going to give you exactly what God has given me. We're all guilty of sin and we've all fell short of the glory of God. But I'm glad to report to you this morning, there's a new beginning that can start down at the house of God today. Amen. A new beginning for your life. There's three things that you got to know and realize today if you're going to have a new beginning in your life. Number one, you must realize that you're wrong. You can't do something about something if you don't realize that you're wrong. When you know to do good and do it not, the Bible says, then it's a sin. There's a lot of people going around doing things that maybe the preachers haven't told them that they're wrong. We need to preach the Word of God, whether it comes to my house or your house, whether it hurts me or hurts you, we're going to preach the Word of God. We want God to hew us down and trim the dead branches off of our life. We want God to make us, mold us, and use us for what He wants us to be. Can I hear from you this morning? Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every single one of us have come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Now, I've talked to people and they said, "I thought I was wrong one time, but then I realized I wasn't wrong." I've known people that joke about that. I've joked about that. But I have met people that honestly believe that in their heart, that they have not committed sin, that they walk hand in hand and they walk a flawless life. Praise God, I hope they can. But you're looking at one man right here that cannot walk without sin. I sin every day of my life. Now, I don't get up and say, "Boy, I can't wait to start sinning today. I can't wait to start failing God today." But I get up with God on my mind. I say, "Lord, use me today. Lord, walk with me. Talk with me. Direct my path, God, that I may not fall short of your glory and of your will in my life. God, use me." That's what I pray every day. I don't seek to sin, but I do fall. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." There's none in this building today righteous. I'm not righteous. You're not righteous. You may think in yourself, I've been a pretty good old person. I've been a pretty good old boy. I've done this. I've done that for the Lord. I've give here. I've done that. I've worked over here. I've helped the church. I've done all these great things. But your righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. I used the example one time of the leopards and talking about the rags that they wrapped on the leopards, if you remember me talking about that, how the sores on the leopards, if you've ever looked up in history what leprosy is, it breaks out the skin in a big sore and it cracks open and the pus oozes up out of that and blood comes out of that and they have to wrap it with gauze and bandages and it just keeps spreading and spreading up the neck and in the face and down the body and it's an awful running sore of pus-full mess is what it is. And they wrap rags around to soak up all the nastiness. And we think our righteousness is so good. It's as filthy rags like leprosy your righteousness is. So when we think we've done something for God, we've done nothing. We have done nothing. There's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death was pronounced upon all men, for all have sinned." That's what the Bible says. You have to realize you're wrong in your life this morning, whether you're saved or whether you're lost. It doesn't mean after we come down and give our lives to Christ that we ain't never going to sin again, and we never have to talk to the Lord again. Yes, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But there's a daily prayer life that goes on between me and God. Can I hear from you this morning? He said, not let the sun go down upon your wrath. You know what that means? Every day before the sun goes down, before you go to sleep at night, you need to be crying unto God. Lord, forgive me for anything that I may have done today. Lord, wipe my slate clean. It's not that you're going to miss out on heaven, but I want to be clean before God. Every single day of my life. That's what I want for my life. And when I get done praying for me and I ask God to cleanse my life and help my life, then I pray for you. And I ask God to show you and help you and help you walk with God and that you may grow in the Lord. And God speaks to me and He tells me things that you need. And I try to put the message of God together that I may encourage you as a children of God to grow in Him. But if you're going to grow in God, you have to realize where you're wrong. We're all wrong. When we think we're right, we're more wrong than we've ever been. We are all sinners. I've not forgot, Brother Delmas, what it was like being a sinner. It's been a long time ago, but I remember what it was like being a sinner. But I've been saved so long, it's almost a faded memory, praise God. But I do remember when that change came, when God saved my soul. And He put a commitment into my life. He came into my life and moved in and set up His abode. It made me want to walk with Him, talk with Him, and love Him like I never have known before. And that's what we should want for our life. But every time Paul said, I go to do good, evil is always present. You ever try to do something, you think, man, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to really try my best and do it. And everything that you can imagine gets in your way and hinders you. If we was half as good a Christian as the devil is a devil, man, what Christians we would be. He never lets up. And by the time he gets done on one thing and you think, man, is he ever going to let up? And you ask God to help you and finally he lets up on something, he'll find something new to work on. You know, and every time I'm trying to go and do something for God, the devil's setting something in my way. So I have to go around it. And I'll do something for God and I'll be trying to work and he'll set it back in my way and I have to go back around it again. And every time I'm trying to do something for God, he's trying to set something in my way. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ whom strengtheneth me. He'll strengthen me to keep going around it. Go ahead, devil, set them out. I'm going to go right around them anyhow in the name of the Lord. And God will bless your life if you'll do that. You have to realize you're just a sinner saved by grace. I told you when I first come here, there's nothing that bothers me any worse than to meet somebody and all they can do when I talk to them is quote scripture to me. I can't even carry on a conversation about anything. They're quoting scripture one right after another. Bless God, bless God, bless God, bless God. And all that shows me is how ignorant they really are. They're not spending time with God. They're spending time trying to figure out how to get some knowledge to show you how good they are and how better they are than you are. I like the ones that you hardly ever hear them say anything. But when the time comes, they can step right up to the plate and tell you what thus saith the Word of God. If I wanted to know, me and you can step off the side and we'll have a talk about it. And I may come to you in confidence. If you're trying to make a big scene of how much you know and it's your prayer life, you know, he talked about when they would get out into the streets, the rulers, and the religious rulers. They would get out in the streets and they would put on their big robes and their big to-dos and they'd have big old prayers and they'd say all these big old words. Why? Because they want to be praised of man. We shouldn't want that. Your prayer life needs to start at home. Can I hear from you? When I go to dinner with you and you want to take me to lunch today, I'll go with anybody who wants to take me to lunch today. And you have prayer, don't start going, God, my Father in heaven, how great thou art. Because everybody in the restaurant is going to go, what? You're so great, you're so magnified and lifted up above all things, how great you are. And that's all good. But you know what's happening? You want to be seen. You want to impress the preacher. You want to do something that brings glory unto you. Well, I'll tell you what, you have received your glory at that moment. You need to realize how wrong you are. You need a walk with God. It's better a lot of times to be quiet than to be loud. It's better to not be seen than to be seen. There's times when God is preaching me, just like I feel this morning. I just want to get down here so I can preach behind here and let God speak to y'all so you don't even see me, amen, and that God can be glorified in what He's doing in this place today. That's what you should want. You should want not to be seen. Why? Because we are wrong. Well, how can I be in a place where God can use me? I'm glad you asked. You can have a new beginning. You can have a new beginning today. He can turn around for you today if you'll heed to what thus saith the Word of God. We must realize that we need help. Not only do we must realize that we're wrong, we need to realize that we need help. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." He's the only help that we've got. If you're here this morning lost without God, He's the one that can help you in the situation that you're in. If you're here today and you're saved and you're dried up on God and you can't feel nothing in your life, He's the one that can fill you, amen, and put a testimony in your life. I'm glad He's the one that can touch you. I'm the one glad He's the one that can lift you up. He can do it this morning if you'll listen to Him and live for Him. I like what the Bible says over here in Luke chapter 15. You can turn there if you want to. You don't have to. Luke chapter 15, verse 17. Talking about we must realize we need help. Here we see the prodigal son. He's in a mess. He's got so prideful, his father has laid him aside of inheritance. And he's wanting that inheritance. He knows it's coming. And it's going to take the death of his father to get it. He's so prideful. He's all full of himself. He's in a blessed home. God's give him a great father and give him everything. But yet, he still wants to do his own thing. He don't realize how wrong he is. So he realizes that he wants to get out and do his thing. And you can read the story. And he goes out and he gets himself in a mess. And he spends all of his inheritance. But I like verse 17, what the Bible says. And when he came to himself. We're going to have to come to ourselves, church. You ain't never going to be blessed to God till you come to yourself. Now I can preach all day long. I can start programs. I can build a youth ministry. I can build a church. I can do everything you want me to do in this church. But until you come to yourself and want to do something, this church will never grow. Can I hear from you? I know it's hard this morning, but just hold on for a few more minutes. Put your seat upright, tighten up your belt. We're fixing to go downhill all of a sudden. You ever been on a roller coaster like that? It's click, 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 and you're anticipating the big old hill to go over, and your hearts are racing, and you're wondering what's on the other side. And all of a sudden, boom, down the other side you go. And it's round and around and around and up and down and twist and flip. That's just the way a Christian's life is. You never know what's coming at you. Do you know one thing? You better hold on. It's going to get faster. I told Emily, I said, you're growing up fast. You're going to turn around, you're going to be 30 years old before you know it. She's 15 years old now, and he's got the whole world ahead of her. She thinks everything's wonderful. She's excited about the future. She's going to turn around in 2 days, and look, and she's going to be 30 years old. Turn around again, she'll be 45 years old. That's the way life is. It flies by. But you know what's going to matter? All that's going to matter when it comes down and they roll your cold corpse out in front of this church. All that's going to matter, brother, is what we've done for Jesus. Where we stand with Jesus. That's all that's going to matter. Brother James, we can build churches and we can get people in all day long. But all that matters is where we stand with Jesus. I want people when they walk by the coffin to say, that man right there, love God and live for God. I don't want to say, oh, he built a good church or he had a bunch of people. He had a lot of programs. I want them to say, he loved God. That's what I want in my life. He loved God. He put him first. And when he came to himself, the Bible says, I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my father. He's got all these servants. And I'll ask him just to make me a servant. I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned and wasted everything my father's given me. But I know what I'll do. I'll go back to the father and just ask him to make me one of the hired servants. But I'm glad that I serve a God that won't just make me a servant, amen. But he'll have a feast, amen, for me. He's got forgiveness for me. He'll say, come on in, sit down at my table. That's the way it'll be one day after a while. We'll sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'll tell you what, we'll have Twinkies as big as Volkswagens. It'll be a wonderful time when we get to heaven over in that place called heaven. It'll be good. But he came to himself. When we sin, and we will sin, and we will fall. I love this portion of Scripture. I wrote it down. I put it in parentheses in my Bible, and you ought to too. John chapter 2. I call it Little John. Little John chapter 2, verse 1. I love it. My little children, these things write I unto you that, listen, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have a what? We have a little talk with Jesus. Why? Because he's our advocate, amen? He's our go-between. He's our lawyer. He's the one pleading the case. He's the one taking care of it. He's the one making intercession. He's the one that's there, amen, for you and I. He's there talking with God. That's one of ours. That's one of ours. He's asking for forgiveness, and he forgives us, and he wipes the slate clean. But the devil don't forget it. The devil remembers everything that you've ever done. He remembers every failure that you had. He keeps a little notebook of it, and he comes by every day. Every time you're trying to do something for God, he's reminding you every day. Remember when, remember when, remember when. You can't, you won't, you shouldn't. You've done this, and you failed God. And you're going, yes, I did, yes, I did, yes, I did. You're right, yes, 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 yes. And you say, God, forgive me, God, forgive you. And the Lord say, what? Forgive you of what? See, he's done forgive you. If you have asked him, if you've committed unto him, and you said, Lord, forgive me. You can look back in the first chapter of Little John there, at the 9th verse. He said, he is faithful and just, if we confess. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It don't stop just when you get saved. It's a daily thing, daily cleansing. I hope you take a bath every day. Don't raise your hand if you don't. But we're supposed to take a bath every day. Why do we do that? Because it gets bad if you don't. And I sure don't want to be around you if you ain't bath. Ain't nothing worse than to get around somebody that ain't bath. I mean, I just can't handle it. Even put on some smell goody. So when I'm around you, I don't care if you smell like a pine tree. I'd rather smell that than smell that body odor. Take a bath. Take a bath. We take a bath every day. So why should our Christian life be any different? We should be asking God to bathe us in his word and in his love every day. God, fill me. Make me smell good, God, with your love and your presence. When people get around me, may they smell that I've been with you. What in the world are you talking about? I preached a message one time, how to smell like God. And you can. Because when you've been with the Lord, it'll show all over you. When you've been in the Word of God, it'll show all over you. And I'll tell you something else will show when you ain't. I can tell you've been studying your Bible or not. I can tell how your prayer life is. It don't take just a few minutes talking to you, and I can tell it. Well, how can you tell it? Lord tells me. I told Emily, I said, you can go do anything you want to do, but the Lord will tell me. And I know she's thought many times, how in the world do they know these things? Mom and Daddy have a straight line to the throne room. I used to wonder that about my parents. I thought, how are they figuring all this out? Tommy, I was in everything. And they knew about it before I could get to the house. Mom was waiting at the door, usually with a limb that long. Boy, come in here. What? I done heard what you've been doing. Get in here. Did you do it? I never did tonight. Yeah. Boy, the high would start flying. I mean flying. What are you talking about? I know it's an unfamiliar thing now. But now when I was raised up, we was raised up with a limb. Mother knew how to skin a tree, and she'd skin me quite often. So not only do we must realize that we're wrong, we must realize we need help. And then you must realize that you need to make a change. I don't know where you're at in your life right now as a Christian. I don't know where you're at if you're here and you're lost. But Psalms 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whosoever confesses their sin, he forsaketh them, and they shall have mercy." You have to forsake your sin to have the mercies of God. He knows that you're going to sin. He knows that you're going to fail. Why do you think He said, "I'm here making intercession for you. I'm your advocate. Talk to me. Share with me." He already knows what you've done. He's waiting for you. "Woman, where are thine accusers?" He asked her that question. When Jesus stooped down on the ground, He began to write. And if you'll notice what the Scripture said, He didn't look at them. He just stooped down on the ground and He began to write. And you know, He probably wrote down Luke. Here's what Luke's done. Tommy, here's what he's done. Aaron, here's what he's done. The Bible doesn't say that He wrote anybody's name or what He wrote. But He never looked at them. He just wrote on the ground. And being convicted in their own hearts, from the least to the eldest, they went out one by one. They came following what they'd been taught. They had the rocks. They were ready to kill that woman. By the Mosaic law, we have the rights to kill this woman. She was caught in the very act. I often wondered where the man was at this time. You can see that them rulers that were justifying themselves, they weren't interested in keeping the law. They were interested in entrapping Jesus. So if they could entrap Him, they could stone Him. If they could catch Him in a wrong, they could stone the man of God. That's really what that was about. Because they should have drug both of them in and killed them both right there by the Mosaic law. And they had right to do that. But Jesus never even looked at them. He just wrote on the ground, "Guilty, guilty, guilty." "If there's any among you without sin, let him first cast a stone at her." And all you could hear was, "All the rocks have fallen." Why? Because they were convicted. They knew they were wrong. They knew that it started at their house. And I'm telling you this morning, you want this church to grow, you want God to do something great in your church, it's going to have to start at your house. The preacher can't do it by himself. The deacons can't do it by themselves. It's got to start at your house. And if we'll work together, God will work in such a magnificent way, it will blow your mind. 1 Peter 1:5, let me give you this as I come to a close. 1:16 rather. "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." He commands us to live holy. We're going to fall and we're going to commit sin. We're going to make mistakes. But that doesn't change His love for us. "Woman, where are thine accusers?" Where are those that said that you did this? He asked her that question. I ask you this morning, what's it going to take for you to commit to the church and help this church to grow? What's it going to take? Who is holding you back? Lord, I have none. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, church, we've all failed and we've all made mistakes. We've all been hurt and we've all quit at one time. We've run. We've stayed out. I like to have a pity party. I don't know about you, but I think I'm the only one that does that. I'm the only one that pouts. Well, Tommy does. He likes to pout too. Me and him pout, and we'll call each other and pout. That's the way we are. We share with one another what's going on in our lives. Sometimes I'm down and he's up, and he'll lift me up, and sometimes he's down and I'll try to lift him up. That's the way this thing goes. We all make mistakes, and we all fail, but we pray for one another. We have to realize where we're wrong, and we have to realize we got to do something about it. And we have to make the change. You can realize you're wrong and know that you need help. But if you never do nothing about it, it'll never change your circumstances. Now, this woman could have said, Lord, I don't have no accusers. He could have said, go and sin no more. And she could have went right back out and went right back in that sin. And her life could have been destroyed. But I believe she trusted God. How about you today? I heard a preacher this week, I'm going to share a thought that he gave because it touched my heart. Every year brings tests and trials, hellos and goodbyes. We shed tears and we celebrate. But I want to work with whoever God wants me to work with. I want to build when God wants me to build, and I want to stop building when God says stop building. I want to make friends when God says make friends, and I want to say goodbye when God says to say goodbye. I want a new beginning this year. I want God to be all in my life this year. So I ask you today, the last day of 2017, do you, I'm speaking to every person in this building today, do you want a new beginning? Are you tired of being accused? Are you tired of being dried up? Are you tired of not seeing God move? Are you just tired? Well, the Lord give me this message to tell you, today is a new beginning. You can be different when you go out those double doors than when you came in this morning. Saved or lost, I'm talking to both this morning. I said, God, which way you want this message to go? He said, you let me figure that out. I said, okay. So whether you're saved or whether you're lost this morning, I wonder, as every head is bowed and every eye closed, I wonder if you want a new beginning today. Are you going to start 2018 off just the way you've done 2017 the whole year? Not today. I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to put it off. It's not me. I'll let somebody else. That's what the devil wants. He wants that new start. He wants you to fall, but God wants that new start for you, a new beginning. So I ask you, as we all stand with our heads bowed,